Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Everybody, it's The Voice, and I'm back on the road again because I just really don't like recording in my basement, apparently. So I decided, where should I go? I want to go visit some old friends, and where was I about a year ago? Well, I went to Narrow Gauge, and Narrow Gauge has had a killer year, and we're here at Narrow Gauge with Brewmaster Jeff. And we're going to sit down, we're going to catch up, see what he's been up to, what is in the near future, and the foreseeable future, or the unforeseeable future. I have no idea, but we have some special guests with us. I already mentioned Jeff, my co-pilot, partner in crime for the past, how many hours of drinking? We had a bottle share last night, and
I got there about 6:30, so.
Okay, so yeah, and you were there to the end.
Yeah.
So we've been drinking 5 to 6 hours already, took a nap, and now we're back at it again. We're not going to hit it as hard as we did yesterday, but Brian, this is your first appearance on Drunken Lullabies. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you drove. And we're going to go to a concert later, so it's all good. And we've got some other special guests. Met these gentlemen in Nashville while I was at the Rockin' Pod Expo. They were there during my live recording. When I mentioned there was a drinking game, these guys went and bought beer so they could participate and drink along with us. And that earned a special place in my heart and my drunken soul. So I was like, you know what? Next time I'm in Missouri, I need to get together with these guys. They've got a podcast as well, Discography Discussion. I've given them a plug on the show before and shared their page on our Facebook page. So check them out for sure. They talk to some great musicians and talk a lot more music than we do on here. But I think today we're going to talk some music. But welcome, Jeff and Dan.
Yeah, two Jeffs.
Two Jeffs.
We were going to make this confusing as
yes.
possible.
Spell differently, pronounce the same.
And talk about a band that has a Jeff in it. So we're going to have three Jeffs going
it's
today.
It's crazy.
Making all right. Confusing.
Well, like every episode, we are brought to you by Distill Brewery in Bloomington, Illinois. I did not bring a sponsor spotlight with me because I didn't feel like packing a cooler and keeping it cold on the 3-hour drive down here. So I just want to give them a shout out. They've been doing their thing in Bloomington since 2013. Boycott and Bland, support flavor, drink distill. They got great beers. You know what I'm talking about. They can't. Okay, you did make a noise at least. You were just not. It doesn't translate well.
It was a grunt.
A grunt, okay.
A grunt of approval.
Okay. Well, something else that hopefully you will grunt in approval for is these beers that we're going to feature today here at Narrow Gauge. And Jeff, Brewmaster, I want to compliment you on your t-shirt. You're wearing your Drunken Maniac shirt, which I appreciate. I left mine at home. It would have been an interesting group photo, you know.
I figured it was an appropriate day for it.
Yeah, we're going to a concert later, so usually that is what I'll wear, because
I'm word out,
always man. Marketing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's free advertisement, man.
So I get complimented. I went to 350 Fest in Chicago and had a guy, he's like, dude, I love your shirt. I'm like, cool, here's my card. You know, check out the show. And that's how you get new listeners in new markets. That's how it is. But we're here to drink. What are we starting with?
So we'll probably start from the everybody's. No.
No, we all said it a little different.
So the one that's less hazy than the rest of them, which is Cinq, spelled C-I-N-Q, which was a Belgian-style Saison brewed with Motueka and Lemon Drop Hops. So this was a collaboration beer I did with the STL Hops Homebrew Club, which was a homebrew club that I was a part of since their second meeting. I missed the first meeting, but still consider myself a member and still have lots of good friends and like to make meetings whenever I can. And we're actually doing the meeting here this week. So
oh, nice.
We'll be, and that was kind of for the debut of this beer.
Very cool.
So some of them showed up to help brew it. Very outside of my normal beers, so I kind of like to throw that in there every couple months where I'll do something different. So I did a Czech style Pilsner a few months back.
How was the reception for that?
Pilsner was crazy. I expected that was going to be something that was going to sit around for a little bit and take a little while to get through the taps, but once we tapped it, it was gone in like 2 weeks.
Nice.
So it was lagered for 2.5 months, so I don't really have the capacity or the bright tanks to put it in to make that beer all the time, but I have bought some single wall bright tanks that I'm gonna try and make that more of a regular type beer. Obviously it won't be on year round, but
right. Well, this is a, you know, a podcast debut. I'm sure this hasn't been featured on another
This is
podcast.
The first time I've made it, so.
Yeah.
And have not done a podcast in a little bit.
In a little while, yeah.
Definitely not in the last week, whenever we tapped this. It's probably been maybe a week ago.
So, like I said, we came here for the first time about a year ago. It was me, Brutal Eric, my friend Adam, and our other friends, John and Brandy. And, you know, we heard the backstory of Narrow Gauge, the history, how you started brewing and everything. I believe it was called Cotton Candy and Broken Dreams.
Yeah,
because
we
like that.
We talked about some
promises.
Strip clubs.
Yes, that's, yeah. So go back. That one's in the archives. I'll probably repost it when this comes out. But we're not going to talk the history since we've been there, done that. We're going to find out what's been going on with Narrow Gauge. There's been a lot of developments in the past year. You guys were starting to do crowlers right when the episode was recorded. You just got the equipment in, so those have been going very well. I see my friends drinking them all the time, and
yeah, the crowlers have been insane. Much more so than what we expected, so we're selling a fair amount of growlers from the get-go, but the crowlers were definitely a bigger draw for people, easier to ship around to friends.
Definitely.
Or trade them, whatever you're doing. Most of our beer got out there as extra, so people sending them in trades for probably side project, perennial, four hands stuff, and luckily that's kind of created a name for us, getting the beer around different parts of the country, and now people wanting our beer specifically, so that's awesome to see.
Yeah.
It's something I always kind of chuckle about. And if I look through a Fort Trade forum and see someone from California trying to get some of our beers or somewhere else, so it's pretty awesome to see that.
Yeah, it's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, definitely.
Knowing that you're going nationwide.
Yeah, I mean,
same thing with, like, you know, music. I mean, I'm sure it's just the same thing with you. You start local and then you got to work your way out from there.
Yeah, I mean,
this is great, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm digging it.
Yeah,
it's it's a little bit hoppier of a Saison, but it's still, like, I don't consider it hoppy, but that's because I drink all the other IPAs and stuff. So we have had people comment on it being a hoppier Saison, but I don't necessarily perceive it that way. But I'm kind of hop mute in some categories.
I clearly enjoyed mine.
Yeah.
Right. Put it away pretty quick there.
Yeah, it's good.
And you've been open now, what, a year and a half?
So our first beers went on tap at Cugino's, where our location is, in June. It was June 3rd of 2016. So that was kind of a rollout debut, sneak preview type setup where we weren't selling growlers. We had two full batches that we tapped. At first it was, we're just going to put a couple of quarter barrels on just to get people are asking about the brewery, they want to try the beers, so the beer's ready, we might as well put a couple on. And after the perception of the first weekend and going through so much in draft, we decided to keep it on till our full rollout, which was June 16th. And that day we had 8 different beers to choose from. 4 of them were full batches, 4 of them were pilot batches. So, and that was a pretty good rollout. We had a pretty good evening crowd that night, and it.
And you call yourself a podcasting professional.
Oh, man, I failed miserably. Hey, at least it was a tauntaun, though.
Yeah. You have a sign out front now.
We do.
You're, like, legit. Before it was just...
reader board to sign, too. Yeah.
Also featuring Darren Page beer, because I drove by it the first time I came here.
You and most everybody.
Had to turn around at the Sherwin-Williams, and I'm like, GPS says we're here. Yeah. Where the hell is it? And then, you know, now...
it's a little more easy to find now. So.
Yeah, Dan wanted us to drive around back. He goes, maybe it's on the backside. I'm like, no, I think it's all together.
It's right there. Yeah.
Because we saw the sign up front, and we're like...
Yeah, it can be a confusing concept for some people. So, like, our patio door, it's unbelievable amount of people that will walk to that door thinking that's the narrow gauge door.
Gotcha.
The other door is the Cugino's door. So it's almost like clockwork every day. Somebody walks in, and then... like, oh, sorry, the side's not open, and they kind of go into a frantic, can I still get growlers? Can I still get growlers? And it's like, yeah, you can still get everything around the other side, so.
And I always recommend eating at Cugino's
for
as
sure.
Well. The food is fantastic, so you can drink the narrow gauge beer, but they also have a crazy amount of good craft beer available, and you said that was one of the reasons you guys kind of got
they were kind of the first.
They have live music as well.
Yeah, they're pretty much we're the only craft beer bar in North County of St. Louis. I shouldn't say North County, but I guess Ferguson's probably considered North County, and you got Ferguson Brewing Company there. So I guess north of 270. I like to boast that we're the only place north of 270, even though 270 kind of runs a loop, so depends how you look at it.
But we're south of 270.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a haul up this way.
We're down in God's country, for sure.
Yeah, so,
it's almost Deliverance, but not quite.
Yeah.
Well, with every episode, we always have a band of the week, and this show's no different, and we have a... excellent opportunity to talk about this band of the week, because I can't speak for Brewmaster Jeff, but everybody else at the table here is familiar with this week's band of the week, a band called Stavesaker that they're listed on Wikipedia as being a super group, but I don't consider it, because they were in a hardcore bands before,
right?
But I don't consider that a super group.
I guess you could call, like, what, a Christian supergroup?
I guess.
They were
almost,
really
underground. They're super Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody that you'd know them from besides Stavesaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
would have been pretty niche.
Yeah, unless you... The Crucified.
Unless you grew up in California and big into, like, the punk
Tooth and Nail record.
And hardcore scene, that'd be the only way that you probably would have known it. Unless your name is Dan Terry, then you know the Crucified, because...
I got the box set at home.
And he's not kidding either.
They're from Huntington Beach, California. They were active from like 95 until 2010. Then they split up. They were doing some other stuff. I know Mark was doing Neon Horse with former guest Jason of Starflyer 59. Although it was one of those. That was a hidden supergroup. They were animated like gorillas, and you weren't supposed to know who was in it, but Mark Solomon's voice is very distinctive. You can't cover that up. But they got back together in 2014, and they have a brand new album out, which we're going to feature a couple songs from, and I'm going to play an old favorite. But the new album, it was crowdfunded. They did a Kickstarter or, you know, Pledge Music, one of those sites, and it just came out as of recording a week ago. And it was a surprise to me. I had no idea they even had a new album. It popped up. I was like, holy shit, this is great. And I contacted them. And I was like, hey, longtime fan, would love to feature you guys as a band of the week. Play some of the songs, promote the record. And Sam, the drummer, was stoked about that. And he's a big beer fan. So he was more than happy to have them be involved. So we're going to play The Dead Rejoice, and this is off of the new album, which is Roman numerals MCMXCV, which I believe is 1995,
you
which
got it.
Is the year they were formed. So
bang on.
Yeah, it's
you know your history.
I'm surprised I can do Roman numerals in my condition, but I impressed myself. I was winging that one. I was like, I could have gone bad, very bad. So anyway, here we go. This is Stay of Sacred here on Drunken Lullabies.
Turn down!
that was our band of the week. We got two more songs coming from Stavesacre, but hope you enjoyed the Dead Rejoice. And we're not dead yet, but we'll do some rejoicing because we have more beer to drink. So what are we drinking next?
This is Double Dry Hop Fallen Flag. So it's our kind of what I consider our flagship IPA being Fallen Flag, but with an additional dry hop. So it has more Citra and Mosaic in it. So it's one of the more pungent hop forward beers that we have. It's still not bitter, but you're going to get a lot more of the aroma and flavor out of the hops.
See, aren't you glad you sat down at the Rock and Pod Expo for the Drunken Wild Boys?
Oh, yeah. Recording?
And now you get to do this.
Yeah.
You're on the show.
And Dan is an IPA junkie, so this is right up his alley.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, it's... if you could just make a spot in the back alley for me, that'd be awesome.
I'm coming back up for that coffee stout.
Yeah, it should... Should be... we're shooting for tomorrow, actually, so...
No kidding.
But we'll try some today.
There we go.
Yes. We're recording tomorrow, right? So
Now, you mentioned Fallen Flag is the flagship IPA. Now available in cans.
Yeah, so we did our first canning. It wasn't this week, but the week before. So the new canning line came in, and we canned off almost two full batches of Fallen Flag just to get the line up and run and prove it out while the manufacturer of the line was here. Went extremely well, and people seemed to be pleased to have four packs of Fallen Flag at a better price point than the Crowlers. So
excellent.
And most important to me is we're sending a lot better product out there. So the Crowlers aren't the best way to showcase a beer. You're going to pick up more oxygen than what you would in a properly packaged beer. So it's exciting to see our beers go out in a better fashion and people get a better first impression of our beers if they've never had
And you have your own canning line. It's not a mobile one.
Which
a lot of small breweries have to use that. One, space.
Yep.
And two, just fundage. You know,
If we had the luxury to be able to mobile can, we probably would have started months ago.
Yeah.
But being in the basement, it's you're not going to be able to really run a 100-foot hose out your back door to run through a canning line and be efficient about it, especially when you're doing 6-barrel batches. So we'd probably have an exceptional amount of waste.
Yeah.
And finding a mobile canner to agree to even do that on those conditions would be tough in its own.
Well, luckily, you don't have to worry about that now. What are the beers that are going to be featured? I know you were doing some label designs, and that was a pain in the ass getting those approved and whatnot.
Yeah, OJ Run was very difficult because we have an orange on the label, so there was a lot of fallback from the TTB. About it being misleading, saying oranges were in it. So I went through a bunch of iterations with a normal OJ Run, and whenever I went to submit for a double dry hop version of OJ Run, I went back through it again, even though they already approved it. And the labels themselves are actually slightly different, because one way they approved it was not acceptable on the next one. Because I have no clue how many people are actually doing the approvals, but it's got to be an unbelievable amount. Especially how quick they turn around.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I'm grateful for. You're not waiting weeks for your next iteration on whether it's approved or not. But as far as what we'll can, we're continuously working on more artwork to get more beers in cans. So our goal is to pretty much try and cut most of the growler fill business out of it.
Okay.
Just because it's so time consuming and you're not sending out as good a beer as you can. So a lot of the repeat beers will end up going into cans. So you'll have Fallen Flag will go into cans, OJ Run, Cloud City eventually, the double dry hop variants of that, the Porter, I know I'm forgetting other stuff, Hoppy Mill, Sparkle Motion, join us in creating excellence. Beers like that will all make their way into cans.
Now, are there limits on the cans? I know sometimes with the Crowlers, when something would be close to kicking, you would cut off Crowler sales for just on-site drinking.
Definitely, and this is a whole new ball game trying to figure out what I need to pull aside for draft. So we've really only had one beer where I've specifically tried that, which was we just canned about 4 barrels worth of Double Dry Holland Flag, which we put on sale Friday and ran out early Saturday afternoon. So we did a limit of 2 four-packs per person. And we had 41 and a half cases to sell of that. Pushing forward, we'll, when our additional equipment comes in, so we got 4 more fermenters on order, which is going to help us put out an additional 12 barrels per week. So the goal long-term for me, or what I have mapped out, depending on how the draft goes, will be roughly 18 to 20 two-ish barrels per week will go into cans. So it's a fair amount of beer. And I want it to be like how the Crowlers are, where you can come in and get them at all times. It's going to be really tough off the bat until we get the new fermenters to do that. And our canning runs hopefully will be every week, but it's kind of hard. I'm still learning how quick I can get cans, how quick we can get labels, artwork approved, things
like
that.
And how much help do you have?
I actually just hired the first employee inside the brewery.
So you're not by yourself.
He just finished his second week Friday. Okay. So he came from up in Kajino, so he was on the serving side of things. Converted into the brewery, so he's never brewed before. So he it's a learning process. Right now he's pretty much just shadowing me, and I'm trying to teach him to do some of the things that'll help me be able to focus on some other things, such as keeping up on ordering supplies, things like that. Because currently it's all pretty well funneled through me as far as the merchandise aspect of it, social media, all that stuff. So having the additional help's definitely gonna help in the long term.
Resume entry for us.
And I'm sure, you know, the family appreciates maybe getting to see you a little bit more.
I'm sure my wife will enjoy me helping out her around the house more than I do now. So.
All right, well, we're going to finish up our second beer. And while we're doing that, we're going to let you listen to another song. This is off the same album, the brand new one from Stay Sager. This one's called Sleepyhead. I think it's pretty fitting for a few of us here. We're a little tired for various reasons, but enjoy here.
Yeah, it's a killer track.
Yeah. Have you heard the whole album?
I have.
Yes?
Yeah, I listened to it actually last night.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cramming before the podcast.
Yeah, it's some great alt rock. So yes. If that's your flavor, man. This is a good album.
And I always encourage the Drunk Maniacs to buy the album, support the artist. If you want to check it out, it is on Spotify. I always do that. Make sure I like something before I drop my money on it.
Yeah, I think they're freshly back on Spotify. I think they got back on with this new release because I think they were off.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Teeth and Nail releases were there.
But not not the other ones. Okay.
Right. Okay. So like your first two records, which are more like hardcore records.
Right. Yeah, that was when I first got into them. They were cassettes. I would inline skate and listen to them on my Walkman.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice. Not doing that anymore.
Memories.
Yeah. All right, well, here we go. This is Stave Staker with Sleepyhead here on Drunken Lullabies. Time. And we're back, and we're fairly awake, and we're going to drink another beer. What do we got now?
This is SHB Double Dry Hop Citra. So
shitty homebrew.
Shitty homebrew. Or a single hop beer.
Okay.
Oh. Depending on who you are.
That's a callback.
But it definitely originates from shitty homebrew.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a joke.
I know, and you also hated naming about the beers, but yeah. you seem to have gotten better at it.
I got a little bit of help, too. So.
Okay.
Some of the names I've... Like Sparkle Motion and Join Us in Creating Excellence were both movie references.
Donnie Darko for Sparkle Motion.
Join Us in Creating Excellence is Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
So it was the...
Oh, Jennifer Connelly. Oh, my God.
It was the infomercial.
That's a scene you don't forget. Seeing Sarah from The Labyrinth.
Yeah, like it started... I was, you know, because we're... most of us are about the same age. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like... Like, that was, like, one of my first childhood crushes. Mm-hmm. Like, I love David Bowie. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, who's this girl that's my age? It's in the Labyrinth. This is hot as hell. And, like, Anders Dim hits the Muppets.
And those huge eyebrows.
I was like, can you...
I'm glad I'm the only one that is not in love with her. It's her eyebrows. It's the eyebrows that did it for me, too, when I was young.
Career opportunities. Oh, if you're unfamiliar with that, Jennifer Connelly, Jim, that will be a future episode of Drunk at the Movies, as well as The Labyrinth. I don't know if... Requiem for a Dream, that's a heavy movie.
Why don't we do The Rocketeer instead?
Yeah, The Rocketeer. That's better.
I think you'd lose interest drunk in watching Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
No, you just fast forward to the best parts.
Yeah, where you're drunk. There's some pretty ridiculous scenes in that movie, so
yeah.
It could be good. I've never done it.
So.
Yeah, especially with some of the scenes with Jared Leto, man, with his arm / hand.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow, that's some pretty heavy stuff.
That's one of my favorite movies, but
same here, man.
You gotta watch it under the right conditions.
Yeah. Yep, it can ruin the rest of your day.
I think that should be the new DARE program.
Oh my god!
Hey kids, watch this movie. Don't do drugs.
Right, it'd probably work in most cases.
And that's like I feel that way. I just had Brianna just started watching Black Mirror with me. It's on Netflix, and I told her it's a great British Twilight Zone-ish anthology show. But they're so dark and heavy. I'm like, I'm an upbeat guy. Usually things don't bother me. I'm like, I can only watch two in a row, and then I gotta watch something else. I need like Step Brothers or something to like counterbalance
that palette.
Yeah,
I was super disturbed watching, and that like I watched.
She's only seen the first one so far, and that was enough for the
that
one
was
night
so fucked up,
when
though.
The prime minister has to have sex with a pig.
On live television.
On live television to save a member of the royal family. Yeah, that's...
Well,
and that's the first episode.
It's on Netflix.
Sounds interesting.
So was the pig fucking him, or was he fucking the pig?
No, he had to fuck the pig.
Okay, well, that's a little better.
Well, I guess it's like 4% better.
Hey, that's still better, man.
Come on, man.
Still counts.
It's my dick, not my ass.
Okay. Wow.
So is
I think
this
we got an episode, man.
Right? I'm just old credits. I'm just gonna keep drinking.
I'm so used to like there's Dan and myself, Jeff. There's Joe. He's the one that normally edits out all of my bullshit. So I'm sorry.
There's no editing on this show.
All right.
I mean, we cut the songs in, but that's pretty much it.
Joe's not here to keep.
Now
us
you guys
in
know what I really
all.
Sound like. Yeah.
So how long have you guys been doing a discography discussion?
Since January.
Okay.
We started off just doing it's like the simplest idea for a podcast ever. It was like. Nobody does a podcast where we're like, okay, let's talk about the first Metallica album, and then two hours later, we're done talking about the last one.
Okay.
And so it was just kind of one of those, like, we just started doing it, and I think the first 10 or 15 episodes or so were just three guys talking.
The first 11.
The first 11, yeah, and then we had a band contact us out of nowhere and want to talk to us, and then we just started going after other podcasters, because, like, whenever you're a podcast no one's heard of, the bands never get back to you about talking to them, which is not their fault. It's typically a management thing, but usually if you have like the band's contact information, they're more likely to get back to you. But we ended up talking to people, and that's when we brought Jeff on, because Jeff's a very
I'm outspoken.
Outspoken.
Energetic, outspoken character. And,
what made you think that?
Yeah, I know, right? So we started back in January, and we just, that's literally all we do, man. We just talk about a band's discography from beginning to end.
Okay.
And,
yeah, we're starting to do quite a bit of interviews from individuals that are in bands. And
yeah, you just had Andrew from Project 86.
Yeah, we did.
He was just on a show, another former Tooth and Nail band that I grew up listening to, and it was really cool to see that he was on the show.
Yeah, he's super cool, dude. But yeah, the whole fun that we try to have with it, everybody always, you know, gets somebody from the band on their podcast, and all I'm going to do is talk about the band. We'd like to talk about what their favorite band,
the band's favorite band is.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, it's a fun, you know, just a slight different change in angle.
That's why, but they have a lot of fun like with it. Coming on here because they're just drinking and talking beer.
Yeah, instead of them having to, you know, promote and toe the company line and do all that bullshit, they just kind of get to let loose.
Yeah.
And that's great for both of our podcasts because you kind of get a different perspective and you get a. Instead of being the run of the mill of what they're doing on everybody's stuff, you get it.
It's more personal.
Yeah, it's more personal.
Every musician loves beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on.
But oddly enough, some fans weren't too thrilled with that because one of the most popular episodes, I had Dance Gavin Dance join me. Still. And they had a sold out show at a venue in town. And I took him to the brewery. We gave him a private tour, and we did an episode, and a lot of people liked it, but some people were like, dude, I listened to this and all they did was talk about beer. It's like, it's a beer podcast.
I
wanted to hear more about GD. You know, it's like, I could have done interviews or whatever, but it's like, I feel there's
a million people that are
qualified
that,
for that.
No, this
I'm just
is
gonna
not,
get you
no, this is
drunk.
Great.
Yeah, this is interviews. Yeah. Interviews nowadays are, okay, so what are some of your influences?
Right.
When's the new album come out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any crazy tour stories?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's like fluff pieces, pretty
like,
much.
Right.
Yeah,
that's really
all
what
those
it
questions
is.
With a Google search.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, speaking
it's just
of,
it's fluff.
And they go on autopilot.
Oh yeah, but that's what we don't want.
You know?
Yeah. So I have a funny story about Dance Gavin Dance. One of my best friends, his youngest son, his name is Gavin.
Okay.
And he's autistic.
All right.
And he's the coolest kid you've ever met. And that's actually how I got him into the band, Dance Gavin Dance, is he had recorded a video of him, of his son Gavin dancing to the Michael Cimbello song Maniac.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you made it. Maniac on the dance floor. Yeah. So he's like doing that, and I'm like, oh my god, Dance Gavin Dance. I'm like, oh shit, dude, you gotta check out this band. and now he loves Dance Gavin Dance because he's an old metalhead, and now he's finally like checking out some new stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. And so
yeah, they were just on the Warped Tour.
Yeah, he's like, I'm so used to, because he's an older gentleman. So he's like, I'm so used to, you know, listening to the radio and everything's, you know, shit, unfortunately.
Right.
And he's like, I mean, there's good music still being made? I'm like, hell yeah, there is.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So now he's on it.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
It's on your smartphone. So.
Yes.
There was a,
well, that's it. Now he does Spotify. I mean, he's all in. He's joined the modern age.
There's no reason not to find new music unless you aren't that interested in it. Like, there was a study or a survey or something that I read that said people over the age of 33, I believe, are almost like 75% less likely to seek out new music.
Makes sense. I myself have been guilty of it.
You know, and you may keep up with some bands that you still listen to, but like finding new bands, a lot of people stop doing that. And I get it, but I can't do that. I don't know if I ever will.
I have to fuck that trend.
I'm always finding new bands for the show, for my enjoyment.
Well, that's part of the reason I ended up being on Discography Discussion, is I'm that annoying weird dude that listens to all the weird shit from Australia and Europe. Because Dan and I are both metalheads, but he's got more of like the hardcore stuff, and I do all the goofy, you know, stuff. Like there's one of my favorite bands going right now is out of Australia called Ni Oblig Iscaris. And
bless you.
Can you
say that one more time?
Yeah, death metal band, right?
Yeah, but the crazy thing is it's like a
technical prog slash death metal band all mixed into one, and they have a lead violinist.
Like and Yellow Card.
No.
The only thing you're selling. I think I'll stick with Yellow Card.
No, you won't, man. Their shit is. It's out there, man. It's so great. Like, so if you like prog metal, dude, you got it. They're great.
Save it for our show, man.
Yeah. I've plugged them more than once on our show.
Don't just blow your load.
I am their.
It's all gone.
I'm their standard bearer no matter what, man. I love those guys. They're great.
And I know you listen to music when you're brewing. Yeah.
Definitely.
What?
This last 2 weeks I haven't because I'm training someone.
Right.
So it's been like, I brewed yesterday and he actually worked up here and it's like, sweet, I get to blast some music.
Yeah, today. What have you been listening to lately?
You'll know, like the new brand new album.
We were just listening to it in the car on the way up here.
It was his
first listen to
it. Oh my god.
It's so damn good.
Yeah.
New Silverstein album's really good. So, like, that's a band I used to follow when I was in high school and hadn't really
I didn't even know they were still together.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I'm going to have to check it out, because I dug them back in the day.
My friend's friends with their bassist, Billy, and they were in town for Warped Tour. Came up here, were having some beers, so I drove up here after a brew day, met them afterwards.
That's awesome.
It was at the tail end of the day for Warped Tour, and they're like, "Oh, you just want to go back up there and watch Guar play?" So I'm like,
"Yeah, do you want to take blood on your shirt?"
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure.
So we drive. We're driving to whatever the hell that place is called, whatever Riverport's called now.
It'll always be Riverport, man.
It's Riverport, dude. Just go with it.
Riverport. Yeah. Probably, you know what it's called. It's where you're going today.
Yeah, it's owned by a casino now.
Insert random Hollywood
casino.
Yeah, it's Hollywood casino.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, random business. It's like in Chicago, I still call it the Tweeter Center.
Yep.
Even though it's been like three things since then. It's also a Hollywood casino one now.
It was like first Midwest.
Yeah, like there's a place out in KC I go to called Sandstone, which is a lot like those two. And it's had like 1,000 different names since then, too. But it'll always be the Sandstone.
Yeah.
So I get
just
it.
Like the Sears Tower is the Sears Tower. It's not the Willis Tower.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, since it's a Sunday, it's just like Mile High. And I'm a Broncos fan, so
okay.
I'm a huge Broncos fan. Jesus. So I'm glad it's Monday night, so I'll be watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I've got my lineup set. This is the first week of the NFL season. I left probably my highest point getter, the running back for Kansas City.
Oh.
Had him on the bench because...
You'll change it from here on out, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's his first go-around, so...
I wasn't sure what to expect, and I'm loaded up on running backs. And
well, you got
no
it,
flex,
man.
So...
Yeah, every point...
He rode the pine and then put up 45 points.
Backs.
I was like, God damn it. So, the sponsor spotlights may be hurting a bit this week in the Drunkomaniac Fantasy Football League, but what are you going to do? I know what we'll do. We'll listen to an ad now from one of the other shows on the FCF network. Let's hear from our friends at the Low Blow podcast.
In a world where we hate everything except for the things we love, there's the Low Blow podcast. So join us every week as me, Adam Z,
me, Dave Rowan,
and Chris and Naomi.
She might be naked.
I'm naked.
Fill your ear holes with unbiased reviews of movies, TV shows, comic books, anything Florida does, and basically the rest of the internet, right here in the FCF network. So please check out all your favorite downloading podcasting apps for us, the Low Blow Podcast, appropriately inappropriate.
Ow!
All right, and that was Adam and Dave, aka the Low Blow Podcast, appropriately inappropriate, only on the FCF network. Check them out. Check out all the other shows on the FCF network too, because they're good shit. We got like 8 of them now. We're blowing up. We're taking over. Watch out. And we're gonna drink some more beer now. We got one left on our paddle here before we gotta refill.
It's
gotta live up to the other three. The other three were fantastic.
Unfortunately, that's probably my least favorite of the flight, but it's...
You did not save the best for last.
For last.
No, I mean, it's still... I don't mind it.
Gotcha.
It's just not my favorite. So it's another SHB beer. It's Double Dry Hop Simcoe. I just find, as I go on, I'm not as big of a fan of Simcoe as I once was. It's still good beer, but not as... It wasn't... You don't get so much of the aroma...
Yeah, it's not, as aromatic as the others.
Now, you're obviously a hop
Tastes
head.
Good, though.
Yeah.
I'm a hop head. Brian, what's your, like, go-to style?
Either wheats, like Belgian wheats, or sours.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm...
You?
I guess I'm going to be the outcast.
Okay.
I'm a
shocker.
Thick-ass stout kind of guy.
All right. Well, you know what? Stout season is coming.
A lot of people are, so...
Yeah.
There was a lot of stouts last night.
I know, I was jealous. I saw the pics, man.
They
slow
me down. So it's kind of a good thing when we're drinking the IPAs and the sours and the Saisons. I'm knocking them back at the bottle shares, but then they start pulling out these Imperial stouts and barrel-aged beers, and they sit in my glass a little longer, so it's like... It just automatically makes me pump the brakes. A bit.
Well, sure. When I got there, there was just those seven of those ones that were just open. They're
Hrothgar Broad. It
those bourbon barrel styles that are just like one for each day of the week, and they're all just open. And I was like, I'll try each
Cycle
one.
Cycle beers? Is that what you said?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, if it was Monday through Sunday or whatever.
I know I tried Thursday. I think is the one I randomly grabbed. I did not try them all.
Yeah, I just grabbed it, tried a little bit of each one. But
yeah.
So you mentioned Hrothgar, and that I met him. And,
yes, you met you met Hrothgar. He posted a picture.
I can't forget that name.
No.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
I know that dude. Tell Jeff I said hey.
Then I found out it wasn't his real name.
It isn't, but it's his alias.
Still a badass name.
Damn shame.
I mean, he showed up yesterday wearing a kilt. And
I can see that.
Yeah,
he earned it. That's his real name.
Yeah,
as long as nobody was wearing mirrors on their shoes.
Culture. Yeah. He tried flashing me from the window. We're downstairs finishing up Drunk at the Movies, and I'm wrapping it up, and all of a sudden here comes Hrothgar lifting his kilt in the window, and you can't not acknowledge that's happening, and. So I'm like, oh, and there's Hrothgar in the window flashing me. So, yeah, good times. There'll be none of that today. We all have pants or shorts on.
For now.
We'll see what happens as
early.
The day goes on.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to be going down the road to Maryland Heights. We've got Point Fest. There's going to be quite a few good bands. I'm pretty stoked to see Goldfinger.
Oh, dude, Goldfinger's
great. I love the new record.
Yeah.
I know John's pretty much the only actual member left. And
well, he pretty much, did everything.
Yeah, and he's just been producing.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people don't realize.
I'm pretty sure he ghost wrote half of the new Blink-182 album.
Yeah,
he's
been huge in the whole... pop punk scene for a long time. Like,
you can tell when he produced something. It's so bizarre that I'll hear a song for the first time and I'm like, this sounds like John Feldman worked on it. And I'll look it up and be like, goddamn. Yep.
Yeah, like good.
I don't, it makes me laugh. It's like, okay, I ran a record store for a decade. I can tell.
Yeah, like since we're in St. Louis, one of the big our claims to fame is Story of the Year.
Okay.
And that's and
you mean Big Blue Monkey?
Yeah, I was gonna say Big Blue Monkey. I watched him.
The first time I saw him was Big Blue Monkey. Yeah.
But that's one of his finds. He actually got them to go. Like that's because of him.
Page Avenue wasn't at the.
Yep, that was it.
Album.
Funny story about them is my business partner Ben, his wife, that's her cousin, is Dan.
Oh really? Cool.
So, had a 30th birthday party, and we went to a bunch of breweries around town, came back here, and he was up here, and I was drank too much already.
What, you know,
I was
too much of a... Did you start geeking out?
I did, but I was too much of a pussy to say anything.
Oh, okay. I would have gone total fanboy.
You pull out your phone and record it, you're a podcaster.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Yeah,
that's
really
all you need. I mean...
Yeah, when they were Big Blue Monkey, I saw them several times down in Rolla. Because they used to go down to Rolla religiously, man. Because there's three things to do down in Rolla: go to school, drink, and fuck. I mean,
there's a lot of dudes there. Fucking Rolla,
dude. Well, my wife went to Rolla, so.
So did mine, and so did I. So.
Oh, okay, there you go. Nice.
Sausage fest up there.
Yeah, actually, I have one of our friends. He's the master brewer for AB down in Florida.
Okay.
Like at their location down there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, Missouri S&T, which will always be Rolla to me, and Brewers, apparently that's good company to keep.
I was in the last graduating class of University of Missouri, Rolla.
Nice.
So it was the last one where you didn't have the option to change, or before the right before the name change.
Gotcha. Very cool. Small world.
Yeah. Indeed it is.
Yeah, you guys aren't that far from us. It's not too bad.
It's nice.
2.5 hours.
About 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Peoria, we're smack dab in the middle of Chicago and St. Louis, so it's a 2.5 hour drive either way. Usually to see a good show, we have to drive to one of those two places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what do? You drive to Schaumburg and then take like the L and the Metro everywhere? Because I hate driving to Chicago.
No, I don't. I... Bless you.
Excuse me.
I should...
In unison.
Yeah. I should do that more, but I usually just... I drive, and then I got to deal with parking.
Well, if it's like... If it's Tinley, you know, it's not too bad.
That's the burbs, just and I'm going to go drink at 350 a mile down the road before...
Yeah, I hate... I can't stand... Like, my first drive up to Chicago with kids in the car was one of the dumbest things I think I've ever done in my life. Because I was, like, ready to murder everybody who wasn't in my vehicle.
Yeah.
And scare the shit out of my kids.
That's nice, like, Chicago traffic.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it never bothered me before, but, you know, at the time I was driving a big-ass minivan. I don't have it anymore, so don't judge me. But, man, driving a minivan in Chicago traffic, because, you know, they just, like, if they're 6 inches, they're coming over.
Yeah.
They're just coming over. You just put on your fucking brakes. There's no choice.
I can't imagine driving a semi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, they're just like, I'm bigger, don't move.
Yeah.
But
you still, don't move, you're just getting pushed out of the way. Yeah.
You're still like, oh, I could kill this person if they don't move.
Yeah. So they're going to move because they know I'm going to kill them if they don't. So they're just going to move.
See how many blood marks there are on the side of the truck.
It's like, hopefully that was a deer. I don't know.
Kill count.
Yeah, it's seriously the worst city I've ever been in for traffic. And I've been in all the major metropolitan areas. It's even worse than L.A. L.A., it's just, there's just a lot of people. Same thing with NYC. Chicago, there's a lot of people, and they don't give a fuck. Like, I saw a guy driving a Ferrari the last time I was up there in traffic. I'm like, dude, like, how fucking stupid are you? I'm like, that's just, you're just an accident waiting to happen.
It's a waste of fun, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, here you go. You got a car that can go 212 miles an hour, and, oh, no, I'm going to drive in traffic where I'm only going 12.
Well, we're going to finish up this SHB Simcoe. We're going to let you guys hear our last song from the band of the week, Stave Saker, off the album Speakeasy. I'm taking it back a few years.
Hell yes.
That's the best one, so you're doing it right.
I'm playing one of my favorites, because anytime I get to feature a band that I've been listening to for decades, I'm not just going to feature all new stuff. I gotta play an old one, and I'm going with Gold and Silver.
Okay.
It's one of those songs that I saw them play at Cornerstone on an encore stage, and that was like a goosebump song. Like, just hearing him hit those notes, and it was just like, this is great. This is why I love live music. And yeah, it's just a fantastic song. Hope you guys enjoy it as much as we've been enjoying this beer here at Narrow Gauge. We'll be right back. But here's Stave Saker, Gold and Silver, here on Drunken Lullabies. Thank you.
No matter where tonight is, you won't escape your broken heart. Stay a while. Stay a while. For the worst, and it tightens up the air. It's not what you deserve, it's not for lack of care. Inside of me is screaming out, I'm praying for my prayers, distracting and unworthy of each and every burning tear. Do I see God in all of this? Maybe all along, it's just that we're so small and simply not as strong. Strong like wings of silver, feathers made of gold, to carry heavy hearts, to cover all our helpless souls, to cover.
Okay, and that was Gold and Silver, our final song of the episode from our band of the week, Stave Saker. But it's not our final beer, because we just got reloaded.
Yeah, I'm excited here. There's something that's not quite like the
one
others.
One of these things is not like the other.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a couple not like the others. But
so, what
oh, we're going to start with. Yeah, we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we haven't got the bottle of it.
We're starting with
it's lighter than everything else, actually.
It's all good.
Another IPA, is that where?
APA. With? So Hoppy okay. Mill is the first one I put on this list. I did not grab my sheet, but I know what they are. So
I should hope so.
So
you
Hoppy
made
Mill,
them, right? So
yeah, I did.
It should be good.
So Hoppy Mill is an APA. It's a little lower ABV than the IPAs, but less hopping as well. It's Citra,
more sessionable.
Not Citra. It's Simcoe and Mosaic.
Okay.
Okay.
And I can't remember if we had this one when we were on last time, but I know I've drank it many times.
We only had two fermenters last time we were here, so we probably didn't have a whole lot to choose
from. Last time the show was here.
Yep.
I've been here a few times since. but yeah, anytime I'm in the St. Louis area,
which this is
trying to make a point.
We've been in a while with six beers on.
Really?
Yeah.
Last time I was here, it was Father's Day weekend, I think
so.
Yeah, and
you dropped the shirt off.
I did drop the shirt off and had a nice lunch over at Cugino's with the family before we went to WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Nice.
So that was a fun day.
So who's the famous son from WWE from St. Louis?
Are you talking about the Viper?
Hell yeah, I am.
RKO out of nowhere. That's a beer name right there.
There you go. I think there's some pro wrestlers from Florida.
IPA, really? I don't know.
I think there's a few. I could be making that up, but I thought I've seen that before.
I know there's.
Now I gotta go do my homework.
There's some good indie wrestling in this area. Anarchy was a promotion for a while. Now Michael Elgin, who I believe is from Belleville.
Across the river?
Yeah, he's running a promotion called Glory Pro now.
Yeah, and there's Glory, there used to be Gateway. That was another big one in the area.
Oh,
yeah.
And then there was NWL, which had a Kansas City and a St. Louis.
Yeah, if you guys want to do your homework on pro wrestling, man.
I'm going to look this up.
You do wrestling at the Chase. That's historic. That's like where a lot of the big guys that McMahon ended up picking up started at wrestling at the Chase, so... If you like going down a rabbit hole on YouTube, check that out.
Like early 80s, like territory days?
I'm talking 70s.
70s and 80s, territory days, okay.
Yeah. Some great stuff. And early 80s, yeah. But 70s and early 80s, wrestling at the Chases, that was the thing, man.
Well, this is the thing right now.
Oh, yeah, this is fantastic.
This is awesome. And some Foreigner. I'm double vision, I'm pretty sure I had
Randy
last
Orton. Yeah, double vision. Yeah,
I gotta be careful. I'm double vision driving the rest of the time.
Randy Orton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was from Florissant.
That's the Viper, man. That's who
we're talking about. There's a couple Hall of Fame bowlers from Florissant, too.
Well, the Bowling Hall of Fame is in St. Louis.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Right across from Busch Stadium. Well, it used to be.
No, it's still downtown.
Now it's kind of adjacent to... Since they tore down the old stadium.
Right, so all the Ortons were from...
Yes,
right.
Cowboy
so
Bob.
Bob Orton, Barry Orton. Dead.
Yeah, they were both at Money in the Bank. They had Cowboy Bob sitting in the front row. And then, of course, he got involved...
With the Singh Brothers.
With the Singh Brothers, and it was all downhill from there. Flair was also there.
I'm actually friends with both the Singh Brothers on Facebook.
No shit.
Yep.
The Bollywood boys?
The Bollywood boys, both. Like, they're legit accounts, too, like not just fan accounts.
Too legit to quit. Do you watch wrestling? You're
I
awful
do not.
Quiet.
I do not.
Okay.
I don't either. That's why I lashed out on the Florissant wrestlers.
Our third wheel, Joe, is a huge wrestling fan. If he was here, man, he would put us all to shame.
I'm actually wearing a wrestling shirt right
that's
now.
That's true.
A Bullet Club shirt.
And indirectly, yeah. I mean, yours is wrestling themed. You know, I kind of ripped
true.
Off Hulk Hogan
that's
a little
true.
Bit there.
Also,
but he's
there's
racist.
There was wrestling on TV last time.
There was. I made reference to that.
I forgot
perfect.
About that until right now.
Yeah. It's just whenever I record shows at breweries, it's part of my requirement. It's in my rider that wrestling must be on a television nearby.
Somebody else
really.
Must have read that.
3:50, they always play wrestling at their brewery. So, all right, this hoppy meal. Yeah, this is one we've. Head crawlers of and taken home. It's
like
just,
you had blueberry on one of your shows, a blueberry version of
Yeah, somebody brought that.
Yeah,
back.
This is fan freaking tastic, man.
This is a
crush. I
can
drink
it's
this all
day.
This
oh
is an easier just drinker compared to the others. So.
Yeah,
these are like shot glasses.
Blink your eyes and then you'd have like five glasses empty of this stuff on your table.
Yeah.
This stuff is amazing.
Now, what did you say the ABV on that one is?
6.6. So it's still relatively high.
Right.
But especially for APA. So when I made Sparkle Motion, I was trying to get a little bit lower of an ABV, and that one brings in at about 6. But
yeah, well, nobody will question your loyalty to Sparkle Motion.
Yes, exactly.
I'd say outside of Saison, this is my favorite so far.
Thank you.
I love this. This is fantastic.
Thanks.
This is... I now have a reason to come back to North County. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you're only about a half hour away.
We're really not that far.
It's probably an hour-ish.
Yeah, it's about an hour.
Oh, okay.
40 minutes, yeah. Maybe. It's not far.
South and north in St. Louis is... There's no easy route.
Really?
If there was a straight shot, it wouldn't be so bad.
But you have to go
you either
gotta
take,
around.
You probably take 270 all the way. Okay.
Yeah, we take 270 the whole way. That's the straightest shot we can get.
If 170 ran all the way down to South 270, that would be perfect. But you kind of got Brentwood in the way and some other stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing people don't realize about St. Louis. It's all about St. Louis County, not St. Louis City. So we're sprawled. Like, it's all suburbs. It just miles and miles and miles of suburbs.
Yeah.
So, when people think of our population, they just think of the St. Louis City, which is...
Which is like 300,000. But really small.
Right,
but
yeah.
Then as soon as you add in the county, you times that by 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we're like 3 million people, but we're all spread out in St. Louis County.
And here we are. We're drinking.
Yeah. We're drinking fantastic beer is what we're doing.
Yes, we are.
Thanks.
I'm already drinking the next one.
You know what? I have no gag reflexes.
You don't even know what it
really
is.
Really happy.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
He went there.
You see, Joe cuts all the...
and this week on Discography Discussion, he cuts all.
He cuts all the stuff out whenever I say it on our podcast.
We haven't bleeped before on our own podcast.
Oh yeah, dude, I'm terrible, man. I'm actually behaving myself right now.
Well, so. Our friends on the FCF Network and your friends at Hyper Uppercut, they had a lot of editing in their last episode.
I haven't just listened to it.
They kept bleeping out. I'm believing it was somebody's name, a girl's name.
Oh damn!
That somebody did something with.
Oh.
Apparently, and I don't think they wanted it mentioned in the show.
Oh, God.
And so then the other two guys just kept saying it constantly. And it was getting bleeped out every time. Like, a half hour would go by, and then just randomly hear a boop, and he just threw it in again.
Drive the engineer nuts on
that stuff. We're listening to a podcast, and you're like, these guys aren't friends. Like, I can tell. Like.
I could be wrong, but I think Rob is the one who said it. And
Jason and Devin,
and they were just going off on it. Yeah, I could be wrong.
It's about his ex.
I don't know. They talked about he went to a party and he may have done something with somebody. I don't know for sure.
Well, there's one
he played Parcheesi with somebody.
Oh yeah, like God. He was one time he was like with a girl and like ended up like maybe having like pull out and like peeing all over her wall.
Somebody got pissed off because they got a Yahtzee and
well, okay, hold on though. Like that's a regular Thursday, okay? Just I mean, like, come on, we've all been there.
Stop mid-coitus and just literally just rolled over and just peed on her wall.
Dude, it happens, okay? I mean,
I wonder if that's the story. I don't know.
You guys, like, you know, pee shaming.
Should we bleep it
out? I don't know. Was it plaster?
I didn't say it
was. Or was it drywall? Because if it was drywall, I get it. But if it's plaster, that stuff just goes down.
It
the
just rolls right down.
You don't have to
yeah,
worry
I don't know
about.
The detail. I mean,
just cut off that sub.
I'm sure
carpet or hardwood.
I'm saying, right? I'm guessing it's carpet. Hardwood. It's probably carpet.
So anyway, yeah. Listen to that episode. I'll have to look up what the episode number was, but yeah, new show on the network, Hyper Uppercut, some more local boys, and Brian's been on that show before.
Yeah, talk about a great name, man. That's an awesome name for a podcast.
It was And Two Zigzags. That was the episode. On this episode, I edit a lot. That was the beginning of the description, because there is a lot of bleeps in it.
Yeah, so. I guess technically it's Hyper Uppercut, you know, Street Fighter, but I guess it's... He's saying Tiger Uppercut.
Yeah, Sagat.
Yeah, so like they thought it was Tiger. Hyper. But, so like their name, they went with it, then after they made it, realized, right, it's the wrong thing. Like, fuck it, let's just keep it.
Yeah. It'd been like if I called the show Drunken Songs.
Rockabye's?
Yeah, Rockabye's after the Sean Mullins classic or whatever.
Oh my god, that song makes people ask it.
How does that song become a hit?
My wife loves it.
It's like
that's exactly why it became
that's
a hit.
That's exactly why.
It's like, you remember Primitive Radio Guys?
No. Yes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Exactly what I was thinking. It's
how
like
does
talking.
That song become a hit? Yeah.
That's one guy
standing outside
doing all that mess. Primitive Radio Guys is one dude.
Is
yeah, it really is.
He has multiple personality disorder.
Well, yeah.
He thinks of himself as plural. Yeah.
And I've actually seen him in concert. So he does actually have people that tour with him. But all
that's happening, like, runs around the stage.
Well, he's got a lot of pedals.
He does do a lot of that. He does do a lot of running around. But yeah, it is mostly just him and like in all the recording and all. And because he's a producer.
Okay.
And he just says like that. You know, Primitive Radio Gods became a pet project for him. So yeah, like that's like he just like one day he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna start doing my own shit, and that's what happened.
At least, like, Boz Luhrmann had that Don't Forget Your Sunscreen film. That was actually...
That came out my senior year.
Yeah, but he's a movie director. Yeah, he's a movie director.
I actually enjoyed that song, but I just did not like Primitive Radio Gods.
At all.
I saw it,
like, where they did the spoken word stuff. I think it was actually at a Point Fest, which you're getting ready to head out to.
Yeah, it's a retro Point Fest, okay?
Yeah,
Dude, the retro Point Fest is sublime
with Rome.
Yeah.
Which... If we leave a little early, I'm okay.
Yeah,
we could bring Brad back, we would.
Yeah.
But we can't.
We don't practice Santeria.
Yeah, exactly. if you see him live, it's actually pretty good. Because I've seen him live with Sublime. It's actually good.
He's played Peoria a few times, but I've never been on.
Well, what's throwback about that?
The rest of the guys.
I think it's
in general the whole thing's like throwback bands. So like Goldfinger hasn't.
Offspring, The Urge, Real Big Fish. There's a Beastie Boys tribute band, and then who else am I forgetting?
The
Menzingers. They're current. I didn't even know they were on this until the schedule came out.
Like, they're on the side stage. I think.
So we're gonna be running back and forth the whole time. We just have lawn tickets, so we can come and go.
It's not that bad.
We didn't bring a blanket to cuddle on or anything.
No, when you walk in, the side stage is generally like right there when you go around the loop to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make an immediate left, and there's the side stage. You take a right, and you're looking at the main stage. So it's...
What's the most recent concert you guys have been to that really stood out? Brian and I... both saw Guided by Voices recently.
That was
awesome. 53 songs.
Yeah,
Bob handed me two beers from the stage.
Oh, shit.
Passed around the Jose Cuervo.
Passed around the bottle of Jose. We all took a pull off of that.
Damn.
But it was a great show. We were right up front.
Yeah.
I'm pussy whipped. I never go to concerts anymore. So I have to go back a few years.
You fucker. We're going to go see Gojira, Torch, and...
Nice.
No, fuck yeah.
Clear Orange, dude.
I saw Torch open up for Red Fang late last year.
That was at the Castle.
It was the most insane show I've seen at the Castle. Like,
really?
Because, I mean, people were crowd surfing and stuff, mm-hmm. and, like, actually getting to mosh pits, which...
Yeah, and they have those barricades.
Which suck, but that little small section, and, like... I got to actually get a video of Drew Hutchinson, like, diving off the stage to crowd
surf. I remember seeing that, yeah. Good old Drew.
Riffing loved it. They were like, this is the craziest crowd we've seen, you know? Like,
yeah. I've seen some crazy crowds there. I saw the Stories so far, and that was the most stage diving I've ever seen in my life. That band alone already has, I think, 6 people up on stage, and they were an opener, so what'd I do?
You're almost done with their next
beer. Oh, yeah, we haven't even introduced. Sorry. What have I been drinking?
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's the regular version of Fallen Plug.
Okay.
So, non-double drive. So, this one just went on tap today. So, it's the freshest beer.
Yeah, excellent. Now available in Cayman's.
Yeah, I think I like this one more than the
double draft.
The double draft. Yeah, I really like this one.
Depends on my mood. Like, sometimes the double dry hop's too much, and then sometimes the regular's not enough. So very dependent on my mood.
Yeah, Dan can tell you, I'm not a big, generally not a big IPA guy. So if I'm drinking your beer and it's an IPA, that means it's fan-fucking-tastic.
So you probably walked in and you're like,
No, I looked at the menu before.
I warned him. I told him, like, hey, we're drinking some juicy IPAs.
Hey,
it's been fantastic. Yeah.
Dan, you're my favorite type of person to introduce to the beers, though.
Since people who don't like IPAs.
Because
this is so much better than like the only like bottled IPA that I can handle is the Elysium.
Space Dust
is it that comes in a bottle. Everything else has got to be fresh.
Yeah.
Because like I'm usually I like your stuff, and there's a place down by us. or closer to us called Mill and Main. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Main and Mill, yep.
Yeah, Main and Mill. Yeah, they have an IPA that's pretty good too that I tolerate.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, we really like them. I've been
down there once. The beers were great. I just it's a hell of a drive from here.
Yeah,
they've been up here once or twice as well. So yeah, they're great down in the brewery.
Part of the reason why we love it is we can walk from our studio.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because we record in Festus, so.
Fetus?
Yeah, that place is
crazy. Festus, wasn't that a WCW wrestler or something?
Yeah, that's
Luke Gallows. Luke Gallows.
Yeah, Luke Gallows.
Festus was his. It's like the tongue sticking out. The simpleton. Yeah, dude. Bell rings though, he goes like retard strong on everyone. Just.
Yeah.
And he's in the Bullet Club, which you're wearing.
I'm wearing, yes.
Perfect.
It all ties together. It's a full circle, man. Outer Circle. That's a Stave Sacred Side project.
God.
Oh, man. I'm just coming.
The,
with, you know, we're all totally nerd pop, man.
Yeah. Outer Circle.
I have their CD. It's like white and black, I think.
And a card. And there's a clown on the back.
Right. Yeah. I think this might be my. This is my favorite
so
far.
The new favorite?
Yeah. Fallen Flag.
Yeah, Fallen Flag. Yeah, this is.
It's That's one my of my favorite beer. It's my go-to when I'm here.
You got something magic here, man. I'm not kidding. This is amazing.
You guys like mail stuff out to people?
What's up?
Like, can people like order from you? Like,
we do not do that. Okay. There's plenty of people.
You gotta get a mule. You gotta get a mule.
Yeah, so my brother lives from Michigan. I'm sure he would love to try some of this.
Oh stuff. Yeah, from Delivery.
Delivery, which we tried some beers last night.
We did.
I don't know if you were.
He works at a brewery.
I barely remember, but yes, I remember carrying.
If
the
he hit me up, like me in another brewery, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, there's stuff like that Delivery in Benton Harbor, Michigan. He books the bands and stuff there.
Nice.
He's actually getting one of the guys from Jethro Tull to play a show here soon.
With the flute?
Not Ian Anderson. I can't remember. I think he was the guitar player.
Goes and
yeah, talking about bands, man. I'm about
damn,
ready.
You beat me to that one.
Yeah, no, I'm about ready to chill out, man, with this band of horses in the background.
Calm you down.
Dude, man, I'm like, I might have to be quiet. What's wrong with me?
We talked about band of horses memorable last shows.
Dude, yeah, it really does,
I
man.
I didn't say mine.
Band
so,
of horses is it for me.
Fall of Troy, when they got together and toured with the Doppelganger.
Okay.
So they
okay.
played Doppelganger front to back.
Dude, that's awesome.
And they played at the demo.
Where's that?
The demo or the Ready Room?
Oh, okay. I know Ready Room.
I always blank on, like, yeah. I swear they were the same venue at one point, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But we went and seen them there. There may have been a couple hundred people there. We were, like, right on the side of the stage. And
I've seen some good shows.
Fall of Troy
at
so
the Firebird. With
yeah, the Firebird.
Really,
yeah, Firebird's
cool. Really small
I saw, yeah, I've seen a few shows.
I saw Project 86 at the Firebird during a big festival. And dude walks up on stage and literally just, like, I'm in the very front row. His balls, like, literally pressed against my face. Which I was going
to
bring.
That's a souvenir to take.
How'd they smell?
Which I didn't. Very minty fresh. But I
so somebody did
this. He's snoring. I probably don't smell good.
Yeah, I was just saying, somebody really did some work on that before if it's minty fresh.
Joe kept telling me the whole time. He's like, dude, whenever we have it on the show, you need to mention that to him. I was like, I am not going to be like, dude.
Your balls were on my chin.
You had your balls in my face for an hour. You know?
My favorite moment was your balls were right.
I'd say my best moment you guys have had is,
my last Firebird show was probably 3 or 4 years ago, and it was Maylene and the Sons of Disaster.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Dallas when he was with Under Oath.
Yeah, so did okay.
You're lucky. I almost got hit in the head by a guitar, because there was no barrier. It was a basement show, and like they were screaming in my face, and whipping the guitars around, and if I hadn't been paying attention, I would have taken it right to the face.
Craziest show I've ever seen was in Springfield, Missouri. It was at a church. The stage was like 6 inches off the regular
floor. Yeah.
And it was Under Oath right when Spencer joined the band and the Chariot.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
So it's when Taco was in the band.
The Chariot.
And he literally, like, had exposed rafters.
Uh-huh.
And he put his legs through the rafters and hung
upside down.
And played like 3 songs in a row upside down.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was the craziest shit I've ever
Chariot,
seen.
Man.
My favorite place is no longer existed in St. Louis. That was the Side Door.
don't know if I ever went to Side Door. I went to the old Creepy Crawl probably 200 times. But
yeah, Side Door was like where all the that'd be like job. Where all the punk shows would be. So like,
what's that?
Creepy Crawl can suck on my job.
Yeah. The new one or the old one?
The new
both
one.
Of them. They're both gone. Yeah, that's a great thing.
Got one's a dog salon now.
Huh?
One's a dog salon now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the one downtown's like a dog salon.
Well,
now.
Dude, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I mean, the Creepy Crawl was like very.
There's local bands
cheap my whole shows. Life, you know?
I've probably and, seen like, you before then.
They had this, to be honest. They had this website, you know, for the Creepy Crawl, and like they had this like 39 annoying things that bands do. And it was just
and
like.
You did all of them?
Absolutely. Driving up from Festus does not make you a touring band. Yeah. But like, no, it was just annoying because I remember like playing a show there a while back, or like 10 years ago, so really a while back.
Pixies.
And we had a keyboardist sound check here, and the sound guy was just like, no, fuck keyboards, we're not doing it. And I was like, well, that's our band. Like, what the fuck are you on? You know, like,
would you tell Chris Dudley that if Under Oath was
yeah,
here?
Jesus.
He's just going to headbang on the side of stage like a Mighty Mighty Boss.
That's what he does most of the time. Yeah. It's
like, we wanted to be Under Oath.
I'm going to run over here.
I started thinking like Dream Theater, like keyboards.
Cool. But no, they were just, Jordan Rudess. Very, I could say this because they're no longer an establishment. But they were just very, very, very rough on bands, like, to the point where they would make it almost impossible for you to play a show without fronting your own cash.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not surprised.
You could call them
they fuck local guys.
You could call them up
so
and say, like, hey, I noticed such and such bands coming to town. I'm a huge fan. Can our band open for them? Yeah, you guys need to sell tickets. Okay, well, that's standard.
Yeah.
That's fine. So you go up to get the tickets to sell, and they're like, yeah, it's $150 for the tickets. And I was like, nobody's going to pay fucking the amount of money I'd have to charge per ticket to get that money back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so it was always like, well, nobody's ever heard of our band, so obviously, you know.
So why don't you tell us the band you were in, Dan, since nobody's heard of it.
No, fuck you. But there's a, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but you can still
see. They're called We Hate Creepy Crawl.
Right, yeah. This is a Creepy Crawl.
There's a reason I didn't want to book him there.
Well, Jeff said that he might have heard your band, so why don't you mention what the band was to see if he's actually seen your band?
If you played at the Creepy Crawl,
we were.
Depends what years. What years?
2006, 2005, 2006.
It was a little late. So in high school, I spent all the money I made at Creepy Crawl, and that was 2000 to 2003.
I miss Madison so much.
Well, I'm old, man.
Yeah,
actually, I'm you're old too.
Yeah, so. I am. I'm fairly old. By the time this comes out, I'm 36. So.
Gosh, you're young pups.
Jeff, you're like what, 56 now?
I'm getting close to it.
Yeah,
we're all getting.
Yeah, so you could be the youngest out of all of us right now, probably. Yeah.
I'm the oldest, probably, out of everybody here, and I look the youngest.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble controlling myself here.
Well, a year and a half, I'll be 40.
We still have one before we get to that one.
We have our bottle.
Oh, yeah. Shit, you're right.
Our clear glass here.
That was a good call.
See, so, yeah,
that was a definite
one
call.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So this is not one that is on the tap.
So he's pouring his Bud Light right now.
Busting out bottles.
The fancy bottle.
I don't know how much this is going to fill. So.
Well, just make sure you skip Dan and fill mine up twice.
You can suck a dick. You're driving, I'm not.
Well, we've already established I have a fantastic lack of gag reflex, so
if
yes,
only there was somewhere close to eat that we could walk to.
Or like
you don't have to walk.
Yeah, I know, right?
You can roll.
Yeah.
Just like all right,
just crawl
through the tables.
I'll do what my kids do, just kind of
give me food. Scream.
Got some good funk on the nose.
So, oh yeah, dude.
Oh dude, that smells good.
Yeah.
So this is a wine barrel fermented table strength saison. It's a tableau de fleurs, or tableau de fleur.
Yeah, don't ask me.
You don't actually put the S
it's
on
the
it, which is actually French for table of flowers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
say fleur is flower.
So
or fleury, depending on
fleury
like.
Is one. So
like Terran Fleury, if you're a fan of hockey.
Yep.
Or Marc-André Fleury.
Yep.
And it is. It is on Untappd. Nobody has checked it in.
Nope.
Dude, I will be the first check in.
Hell yeah. Dude, this is fantastic smelling.
Yeah. This was in, it fermented in wine barrels and stayed in them for 6 months. And it was two different sack strains, so clean brewer's yeast and two different Brettanomyces strains. So it's the first sour-ish beer. I don't really consider it a sour beer. It's more of a Brett beer that I've done here.
Okay.
So it's my first foray in barrel fermenting and barrel aging as well. So
I almost wish it was like a candle.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wish my house smells like this.
Yeah,
this
is amazing.
This is awesome. I don't really want to drink it. I just want to keep smelling it. It smells so good.
My wife and I bottled all this 2 weeks ago. So it'll probably be another few weeks before we actually sell them. So this is, I get to actually check up on it. And you guys get to benefit on that too.
Well, I'm all right. It's got a bit of tart to it. I like
it.
This is coming from somebody who likes stouts.
Right.
Yep. As weird as it sounds, I like opposite ends of the spec. I like stuff that's like sweet tartish. Almost.
Yeah, so Brettanomyces will produce some acidity with oxygen. So being in French oak for 6 months, it's going to get a little bit of oxygen over time, and that's what will produce some of the acidity.
All right, what I got to know is how the hell do you have the patience?
It's pretty easy when you're busy. I mean, you just kind of forget about it.
You put them in barrels and you just cover them up with some shirts and stuff.
They just sat there.
It's not important.
Yeah.
I just look at these beers. I'm not going to do anything until the beers tell me they're ready. And that's
the thing. Like, you'll go, you'll check it occasionally, and you'll get the characteristics and the profile are changing always. And you know it's there when it's there, but you still may save a little bit to,
That's my problem. As soon as it starts to say, to taste almost
remotely,
good, I'm like, this. Let's drink this shit right now.
Oh, man, this is
fantastic, this is really
good. Yeah. Whenever I was making this beer, it was I want to make a light, sessionable Brett beer, and that's kind of what I was going for on this. So my actual target ABV was 4. This ended up being 4.7.
Okay,
nice.
So I got a little better efficiency than I was shooting for. I refilled these barrels 2 days after we emptied them, so they got the same exact base beer into them. I adjusted my recipe to get it down a little bit, so the next batch that comes out in another 7-8 months should be like 4% or so. But
excellent.
I love a good like a grisette.
Okay.
Like, you could classify this potentially as a grisette.
I've got a grisette from Yazoo in my fridge right now that I thought we were gonna get to last night at the bottle share, but people brought too many good beers, and I'm like, all right, well, I'll just keep this one in the fridge and I'll drink it later on the show. So, are you wanting to have some more of this style of beer? I mean, because everybody comes for the IPAs, and it's what you're known for right now. But, you've got other styles available, and there's usually at least one to two on tap most of the times. But you've busted out a sour last time we were here, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was Fleurier, maybe.
The private stock,
I'm trying to remember what we had. Do you remember?
I would have... Oh, man.
You'd have to cheat.
I would definitely have to, like...
I had a mixed fermentation saison I called Fleurier. but I don't remember if that was for that or not.
Yeah.
It could have been...
I can find out here.
I had a cherry version of a...
Oh,
beer and a blackberry as well.
Cherry is like my favorite fruit.
I'll scroll towards the bottom of your beer list because it's not going to have many check-ins. Yep. I know that. It was the American Wild Cherry, the pilot batch. That was fantastic.
Yeah, so that was only 3 gallons that I did.
That needs to happen again.
Yeah, and it was cherries off my father-in-law's tree.
Yeah, there were only just a few check-ins. You, and then four of us
probably
from the show. Like that's been at 12 check-ins.
Now, sour beers, so like my two beer styles of preference are generally the Northeast style IPAs and Lambics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not going to be anywhere remotely close to a lambic because they have hundreds of years of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But sour beers are something I very much enjoy doing, having the patience to do them. So,
That's that magic word, keyword.
You can't rush.
Patience.
Yeah. You can't rush wild beers. So,
dude, this is fantastic.
Thank you. So,
I don't think, do people even realize like how much math goes into this?
Some probably do.
But yeah, like there's a reason why he's a goddamn engineer and he's brewing beer.
Right.
Like there's logic there. Like there's so much math that goes in. You see, that's why I would like be terrible at this. That's why I'm fantastic at drinking the magnificent things that you make.
Being an appreciator.
But I could never make what you make. Like my wife probably could, but she hates beer in general. That's because she's sheltered and like Christian and all that stuff, and she doesn't drink.
Hey, I was raised Lutheran and we love beer. But, you know.
It's a true story.
It's true. We love beer. We're good German folks.
I might have, like, ruined her and, like.
And we love birth control.
No.
That's why we're not Catholic.
Shit.
This has been religion.
The Monty Python sketch where
every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is sacred.
Like, they had like 30 kids in their house, the Catholic family does.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Well, this is magical, I have to say.
Like,
I
don't want to down it. I want to keep sipping on it.
You can save it.
I
want to smell it.
Save it for after.
No, because I want to drink this.
We're moving on to the last one here. Three of us are ready.
Chug it, bitches.
All right, I'm going to spill mine all over the table.
All right, so this is the one that...
This is the moment I've been waiting for.
You've been waiting all day.
So I saved it for last because it's going to wreck everything else.
Because it's so damn good, that's why. Just the smell of it's fantastic. I've been over here like huffing it like I'm like some like cheap redneck like huffing paint.
Straight coffee smell. This like
so this is a 9.5% Imperial Stout with Blueprint Coffee. So if you've never had any Blueprint's coffee from St. Louis, they do some great stuff. So all the coffee beers before this I did with a local roaster in Florissant. I talked with the Blueprint guys and they wanted to kind of jump in on a beer as well, so I decided to give them a go around on this batch, and it's just an Imperial Stout with just coffee in it. So.
It's literally...
You did it justice. How about that?
It tastes like coffee. It's like, I wish I could drink this every morning when I wake up.
Oh my god, it smells so good.
What's the full name of it again?
Let me swallow there. It's coffee, so it's K-O-F-E, so it's the... Russian pronunciation of coffee. So all the Imperial Stouts I've done so far have a Russian name to them. So Zavtrak is the Russian pronunciation for breakfast. Vanille is the Russian pronunciation for vanilla.
Never would have guessed.
So, yep.
Yeah, this is like...
But
like you said, for breakfast
this is
every
amazing.
Morning.
Yeah, it's
I'm a big... fan of founders
appreciate the
breakfast stout.
You're right.
I still got a couple of bottles of the KBS in my
you're
fridge.
Right. Anyone's listening.
That's just
however,
delicious.
This is better.
Oh yeah, I agree. I actually 100% agree with that.
This is fantastic. Yeah.
Now is this one on?
It is not yet.
I was gonna say I'm
tomorrow.
Not it.
Tomorrow.
I need
right?
to add it.
So there you go.
I can add it.
You got some work to do.
God, this is so good.
Yeah.
If you guys love stouts, you guys got to come to Florissant. Oh my god, this is fantastic.
If you love good beer.
Good beer in general, but this is seriously, like, this is top three already.
Well,
I've only had a sip.
If you don't like beer but like coffee, you would like this.
Yeah. There's a...
Coffee won't get you drunk.
No,
so, yeah.
But this will, so it's like...
Exactly.
Yeah,
oh my god.
Coffee and Jack.
Depends what you put in your coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
Speeds it up.
See, I'm not a coffee drinker, and I think that's part of why... I'm not huge into stouts. I will drink them every so often, but I go for IPAs and that.
I'm not a huge stout person. So.
This is dessert, though.
I like
this.
I do like
this
coffee.
Is more than enough
this is
for
your
me.
Ice cream sundae.
This is heavy, man.
Like the Bourbon County coffee stouts. Out of all the ones they released, the coffee stouts have been my favorite.
Yeah.
Of the ones they released. Yeah, I had an Founders KBS and the regular brand.
I had an infected barley wine that we could have cracked open.
The infected yeast in it or something like that?
2015. It was great when I bought it. Shit's and
gross.
Then.
I had one lately.
Don't drink this.
That's awful.
That's why I was saving it for the bobble shit. I was like, oh, we could all just take
a
sip.
The infected regulars are pretty bad, too.
Yeah.
So I
was hoping
through
it turned
my
into
stash.
Like a sour or something, but, you know.
Since I did the refunds, I looked through my stash. I'm like, oh, these are all said to be good.
Yeah.
So we like to do like our own treatments on the bottle. So I opened one up and I had a vanilla bean that I put aside from something I made here. And I'm like, I'm going to throw this in a bottle of BCS with a cinnamon stick and I forgot what else, something else in there. So I threw it all in there and I poured a little bit out. I didn't try that until after I put everything in, capped it.
Okay.
And I tried it. I'm like, something's not right with this.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe it's my mood. So I just slammed the rest of it back, and like a month later, opened it, and it was absolutely horrid. And it was, so I'm like, this isn't supposed to be an infected bottle, so I looked it up, and it was. So I don't know if it got added after the fact.
Right, maybe.
Was it the regular?
Yeah. I think it was that November 4th bottle or 5th.
Okay. I got two bottles of 2015 still in my fridge.
Yeah.
Should probably check those out.
Probably. I thought the 2016 was great. I thought. The regular.
I remember buying it when it was just. Fresh. All they had was just
right.
The one.
And now there's the rare, there's the prop.
I actually have bought the barley wine still, and I do not like barley wine.
Yeah.
No?
Barley wine is not, life. That's what some of my friends
every
say.
Every barley wine I've tried, I can't get into it.
My brother in law is like a huge junkie on that stuff. Like, he had a blueberry and a boysenberry barley wine.
Hmm.
And that was... The blueberry was pretty good. But, yeah, that tastes like cough syrup to me, personally. Yeah, but he loves that stuff. Now, the stout, on the other hand, now we're talking. See, that's the great thing. Like, we're running the gamut here.
We are.
So we got something
we tried
for
a little
everybody
bit of,
here.
Yeah.
Something
yeah,
for just everybody. About. Yeah, so
what
this
was
is
the,
great.
What was the name of that bottle?
That was Tablet de Fleur.
Yeah.
So T-A-B-L-E...
A-U? You can look me up on Untapped and just piggyback off my check-in.
I think I got most of them. But.
Yeah, but that flowery stuff, man, holy cow. Like, seriously, I wasn't kidding. I want my house to smell like that. That was amazing.
Do you sell that air? Like... The bottle already.
What's up?
Are you selling Eric in the store?
Not yet.
So it's a preview.
It's only been bottled 2 weeks, so I'll probably get it another couple weeks.
Okay.
I think it'll progress a little bit more in bottle, and then we'll sell it.
How much are you thinking about selling it for per bottle?
What's the suggested retail price?
Yeah, MSRP.
It's probably going to be nine or ten.
It's not bad.
All right. Well, I think it's the time of the show now, where we will go around and discuss what our favorite beers were. It is time for Picks of the Week!
Yeah, but we're ordering them.
Alright, it's time for Picks of the Week! That's what it means when you hear the Ultimate Warriors theme. Jeff.
With a G. We gotta differentiate here.
The G-Man. You have stated a couple times what your favorite is, and it seems to keep changing.
Really?
So what is your decided favorite of the day?
Well, since I'm a bandwagoner, and it's the last thing we have...
Oh, we're not on the wagon. We're off the wagon.
Oh, I'm talking about like bandwagon fans, like football teams and stuff. It's definitely the stout because I like stouts and I like coffee stouts. So this has everything. Everything I ever wanted in liquid form.
There
like
you go.
This like makes me happy. It's all. That's a surprising thing though. I will say this: the IPAs here are fan frickin'-tastic, and I'm not an IPA fan, so...
Fanorific.
Yes, so...
That's it's a all sublime been, reference,
it's all
technically.
Been, yeah.
Hong Kong fooey.
Yeah, as long as you don't ask my mushroom tip to go drip, drip, drip,
it's topical.
It's what I got. And you, sir.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Hoppy Meal, man.
The Hoppy Meal.
I like the Hoppy Meal a lot.
All right.
I don't know, I'm just a big hop guy.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I mean, it's in the name.
I don't typically drink much stuff that's less than like 8%, but this, I can ease into this.
Yeah.
This is perfect for me. This is recovery.
Brian.
What was it? The Pierre LaFleur? Is that what it is?
It was the finishing move of the Rougeau brothers.
Oh, back shit, in
the man. The Mounties?
Yeah, now we're talking.
Fuck the Mounties. Yes, that's my pick. It's the closest to a sour. It smells amazing. It tasted amazing. I would say the coffee stout, though, is a close second, as that also smells almost exactly like coffee. And it tastes a lot like coffee.
Yeah.
And it's, what, you said 9 ABV?
9.5
ABV.
9.5.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
And you can't taste it. That's a
no,
crazy thing.
You can't.
It's dangerous.
It will sneak up on you. It's delicious.
Now,
that's definitely a hallmark of stout, so
Jeff, I'm not going to make you pick. I usually...
That's like having to...
He has to
pick between his children.
Exactly. Favorite son. Pick a favorite son.
I always
I've
let
heard
the
you can always pick a favorite child. You just don't say that loud.
You can. Trust me.
But I'm going to go with... I'm going with my go-to, the Fallen Flag, you know? I almost went with the double dry hop Citra. I really dug that one for like one I haven't had before.
Yep.
But since we're featuring Fallen Flag, gotta go with it, you know?
I'll agree with you there.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. Thank you to these gentlemen that I'm pointing at that you can't see me doing at the moment for driving up here. Where can people find your podcast?
The easiest way to find us is discussmetal.com.
That's not the name of the show, though.
I know, but we discuss metal discographies.
Okay.
Sometimes we discuss metal.
Yeah.
Unless I'm feeling, you know, nostalgic.
So you can find us on iTunes, Stitchers, and pretty much any podcast app that's out there. And it's Discography Discussion.
That's
the actual name of the podcast.
That is correct.
And I just followed it earlier today.
There you go.
Fantastic.
I'm actually pumped because I'm a huge metalhead. So
there you go.
One subscriber.
One.
Yeah. We're up from two, which is I'm the other one. So
I don't even subscribe.
See, that's what happens when you're on Drunken Lullabies. Your followers will double.
Instant fame.
If they're in the single digits. Jeff, thank you for hosting us here again at Narrow Gauge. Come out, drink the beer. Like we said, big things happening. It's been really great to see. I mean, you were on a magazine cover. I didn't even get to that.
Mr. GQ.
I had a quote in GQ. Actually.
Oh, damn. I was just being an ass.
My friends gave me shit about it. So. They took a bunch of pictures, and all the pictures they took of me didn't make it into GQ, though. So that made sense.
Yeah. All right. Well,
dude, you got the lovely locks, man. Yeah. How the hell did you not make it in?
Working
you shaved
it.
The facial hair, though.
I think I may have still have the skank beard for that.
Yeah.
So I did a year of not shaving for a year of brewing.
It was a good call, I think.
It wasn't a good, I wouldn't even call it a beard.
Nah, it was something.
It was something. Gross.
Well, like I said, I'm just really, really happy to see everything going well here. You know, if I do a show at your brewery, it's because I'm a fan of your product and it's something I think people should go check out. There's plenty of breweries I could be talking to. But I have my favorites and the ones that I go back and revisit, and you're one of them. So thank you for having me back here a year later and bringing some new people into the fold this time to introduce to your
absolutely. Yeah,
to your establishment.
Out.
So, all right. Well, where can people find all their narrow gauge information?
So you can find us online at narrowgaugestl.com. That's where we keep most of our up-to-date what beers we have on, or you can follow us on Facebook, which is Narrow Gauge Brewing.
Sounds about right.
And
just
our,
type in Narrow Gauge Brewing. It
our,
should pop up.
Yeah, it should.
It does. I try.
And Narrow Gauge, our on Twitter is Narrow Gauge Beer, at Narrow Gauge Beer is what our handle is on there.
Excellent. All right. Brian, did you want to promote Jimmy John's or anything?
No, I don't at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Damn. Do you have anything,
stay away.
Anything you want to plug?
I want to plug a lot of things.
Yeah,
but nothing I, can
I left
say
that one open.
Ooh.
That's what she said. All right,
you can only plug one thing at a time, though.
I got five fingers on each hand, so I mean, that
what
can,
ass.
Five fingers.
I can
punch.
Plug a lot of things at once. At toes, and a big nose.
Hell yeah, I suck toes.
A tongue.
All right. On that note, we're gonna wrap things up here. We're gonna. I still have.
No, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You're the last one.
I'm the last one.
Because
I talk too much. I'm the voice. All right. Well, this is the voice bidding you a fond adieu. That's French. We're,
oh,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm talking,
we're talking about the
Florissant.
I'm
a
talking
French
like
town,
I'm
so.
From France.
It's probably not really pronounced Florissant.
Probably.
Florissant.
Probably.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. That's right. Well, this is the voice saying, until next week, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you next time.